Indiana will be at Iowa. You've got the Badgers and the Gophers on Friday nights. Our coverage starts at 5. Tip time set for 6 o'clock. Brian Butch will join me at the Kohl Center for part one of the border battle between the Badgers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Wisconsin 2-2 in league play. The Gophers looking for their first conference win. Badgers look to prevent that from happening. We'll talk to you Friday from the Kohl Center on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a bug.
It's Friday for Kate's 12th birthday. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese wakes today.
Dad. Dad.
Brianne, I'm in the middle of a guitar solo here. Can't this wait?
I have a dermatology appointment in 20 minutes, and if we don't leave now, I'm gonna be late.
Then we have to stop at Molly's to pick up our grandma's bullhorn for the pep rally.
Oh!
Oh, and then you have to drop me off at school.
Great.
And then pick me up afterward.
And your mother can't?
No.
Well, it used to be a time to talk to my kids and their pals. Now they just sit with their earbuds in and text one another cells.
Yeah, I'm that vehicle man. And that 24-hour ATM, I'm that vehicle, baby. I can't believe how much they spend.
At Best Buy, Old Navy, Abercrombie, also Fitch.
Great God in heaven, I could have been rich. Yeah.
The finals of the spelling bee.
Then 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee.
Slurpee. S-L-U-R-P-Y. E-Y. I'd go to Heather's, then Rachel's, the concert at the amphitheater.
Great God in heaven, help me! It's Justin Bieber.
That's Tim Kavanaugh and Vehicle Man. And that's the kind of stuff you hear if you go check out Tim this weekend at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington. Tim, that's a great. Does it help
yes,
you?
Does it help you when you write a
parody like that? Mm-hmm. You know, you're grabbing an already really well-known and cool song.
Right.
Does that help the parody or the crowd
absolutely.
Interaction? Yeah.
Yeah, no, half the work is done. Actually, the hardest part, which is coming up with the catchy tune, and that particular duet is with Jim Peterik, who is with the band The Ides of March. He was the founder.
Oh, yeah.
And he sang the original Vehicle back in 1970.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
Song with the just iconic song.
So great.
And his band, The Ides of March, is still going. One of my best friends, best buddies in the world, is a member of the band. And so I presented Jim the idea of, hey, I did a parody of your song. Do you want to sing it with me? And rather than punch me, he said, yeah, okay, let's do it. He's a great guy and a huge star and a huge rock and roll guy. And I cannot match my voice with his, but I tried.
Boy, I was listening to it. I'm like, man, this guy's got some power behind his voice. Now it makes total sense that he was the actual singer of that song. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you used to give out mac and cheese in your act or prizes, I should say. Can you tell us how
I still give out? I still give out over $7 in prizes in every show. And, you think, boy, that really adds up.
Yeah.
But not really. No, it's $7 a show.
You got that kind of money.
You know what? My audiences are worth it.
I think
you're going to get roasted. Just think Monday, Saturday night, rather Saturday night at Memories, you're going to get roasted chicken and somebody's going to walk out with a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Some and lucky bastard.
Who knows what else? Because that's I've still got $6 left.
Right. So inflation hasn't really taken a toll on your act is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think the question you're going to ask is how did you start doing that?
Yeah.
It was just a way to kill time on stage where you've been in those situations when you're starting out and it's like all of a sudden you're presented with a situation where you have to do 45 minutes or an hour of
right.
material and you really only have, maybe 45
12 minutes.
And, yeah, right. Exactly. So, you find ways to interact with the audience, to have fun with them. I found that giving out a prize makes everything okay.
That's fantastic.
You know,
see, I did that too.
Rather than just go up and start talking to people, it's like, hey, you won a prize. And then you can start off and you give them a prize and then they're friendlier to you and they talk to you.
They think they want a washer and dryer and then they find out at the end of the show it's three for a buck mac and cheese. They still leave with something. You know?
You're still a winner.
You're still a winner in Tim's book. I want to play. You sent us also a song called Get Drunk, and it's fantastic. So after we do a very short break, I'd love to play that song if you can hang out yet for a couple more minutes.
That would be wonderful. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to have you here, buddy. And I would love to ask you if you have a fun road story, if we have time for it after the song, that you could share too.
Okay.
So think about that. We'll be right back. We'll read more of your texts. Our question tonight is, what is the best song to slow dance to? From the 818, Bridget says, Heaven by Bryan Adams. And my wedding song, Good Things by the Bodines. There we go. There's a Wisconsin homegrown group. Excellent, Bridget. Thank you very much. We have a Steady Eddie text we'll get to. And Mike Desitel checks in on the stream and says, Slow Dance, Can't Get Enough of Your Love by Barry White. These are all fantastic submissions. We will be right back with more Tim Cavanaugh and the song Get Drunk right here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Steady Eddie checks in from the 608. He's Steady Eddie tonight, not Steadfast Edward. Pete, this was way before my time, but I get a little sad every time I sing and play it on my guitar. It's a good slow dance song. 13 weeks at the top of the Billboard charts in 1951. Sung by Patti Page, written by Pee Wee King. Tennessee Waltz. That is a great song. And then Eddie includes some of the lyrics. I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see, I introduced him to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. Ouch. Steady Eddie. I love that he went the extra mile, Conrad, and put the actual lyrics in there.
Yeah.
That is a haunting, beautiful song, though. I thought it was Patsy Cline. I guess probably Patti Page, though. Tim, did you take a powder? Or are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, I'm here. No. I was just thinking about the Tennessee Waltz. And
it's a great song.
It is a great song. Oh my God. Yeah. And at the Memories Ballroom, just Can you imagine just cutting the rug there, doing a waltz all around the roasted chicken and the comedy stylings of me and Anthony Bonazzo?
You've got, that's what Wisconsinites, more or less, I guess, Port Washingtonites have to look forward to. January 11th, prizes from Tim Kavanaugh, Italian opening acts, kind of give you a sense of the whole crooner era.
Sure.
Roasted chicken and some great comedy this Saturday night, January 11th, at the Memories Ballroom in Port Washington. So go check out Tim. And Tim, I want to play another song here before we run out of time.
You sent this. Wonderful.
Yeah. And I don't know if you'll do this weekend, but the song is called Get Drunk, and I want people to hear it. It's so funny. So here on Nightlight is another great song by Tim Kavanaugh called Get Drunk.
When you've had too much to drink, there's certain things to keep in mind. Like if you find your hands and underarms are bleeding, your beer bottle might not have a twist-off cap. And don't ever go home with a woman they call Moose or Vince. And never bet that you can fit your head inside a glove compartment. Get drunk with dignity. Keep in mind that just because a bulldog licks your face, it's not necessary to lick him back. Stay away from drinks with names like brain seizure or hippo laxidil. Get drunk with dignity. If a bar has human ears nailed to the walls, don't pass out there. And if your homemade jello has some goldfish in it, you used the wrong bowl. And there are phrases you must learn to avoid. Phrases like, that badge looks stupid, and I can prove these shoes are fireproof. Get drunk with dignity. Try not to drool on bikers. Don't moan a nun unless you've got a real good reason. Don't get romantically involved with farm machinery. Get drunk with dignity. Get drunk with dignity. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, that is outstanding. That's a great song.
Thank
Tim.
You, Pete. Thanks for playing that.
Absolutely. What? How do you, like, you wrote that. That's not really a parody, is it? I mean, that's your
No,
own...
that's an original song. That's my music.
Yeah.
So I get full royalties on that.
Okay. Woo!
Yeah, you know what? And it's a song that it took a long time to put together, but it came together very, very, very nicely. So, and I had the Bob and Tom band behind me.
Oh, that sounded great.
From the Bob and Tom radio show. And so, yeah, it's a fun song.
How many times did you have to get drunk and embarrass yourself before you had enough material to complete the song?
Well, you know, fortunately, I hang out in the world of comedy, and so I don't necessarily have to go through it all myself. I can watch some of my colleagues, and certainly you've seen that.
I hope I'm not on that list.
Where it's like if a bar has human ears nailed to the wall, don't pass out there. That is actually based on a true story.
What?
Not exactly true. But the whole concept of it, I did a show where I was just starting out, and it was at a gay bar in Chicago with a guy named Jim Fay, who was a very, very funny guy before your time. And he was kind of my mentor and my muse, but a very, very bad drinking problem. Mm. And we went in, we did the show, and we sat around afterwards and we drank, and he got so loaded. I mean, we had to carry him out at the end of the evening. And I just thought, you know, what would it be like if you go into a bar and like every drunk person that they've ever had there, they cut off their ear and they put it on the wall because they don't know they're drunk. They don't even feel it. And it just is kind of like, hey, this is really a cool bar that we can do that.
And then we'd say, we'll give you your ear back if you can pick out which one is actually yours of the 50 pairs of ears on the wall.
Right.
That's
exactly
a fair
right.
translation.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. I remember those days too, having to give, like when you're starting out and you know, you have the older comic who has a drinking problem who wants a ride because he's lost his license, and you cart him around and you feel like you're doing him a favor and, oh, this is going to lead to more work and I'm being a good guy. It's just like the longest night of your life. Tim, this was so fun. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Knock 'em Dead Saturday night in Port Washington at Memories Ballroom. And don't be a stranger. We got to have you back soon because you got a lot more music for us to get through.
Thank you, Pete Schwabba. I love your show. Thanks, Mike Desitel, I love you also.
Great to have you. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Tim Kavanaugh. One of my favorites. So great. But another one of my favorites is coming up, too, and we're going to talk more. We're going to do a deep dive into this high school dance thing because Mike probably likes a lot of the same music I did. We'll continue our talk about slow dance songs. Conrad, try to come up with one. You just got to make something up.
I got one.
Oh, you got one.
Okay, Careless Whisper.
Ooh, that's a great one.
By Wham.
That's a great one, yeah.
Is it Wham or is it just...
No, that's Wham.
Okay,
I'm almost sure that's Wham. Yeah. All right, Mike Siegel, TV's Mike Siegel, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, joins me next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's too late. Turn back now.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore is getting rave reviews regarding her acceptance speech for her Best Actress Golden Globe. Moore won for her role in the film The Substance. She says the Golden Globe was the first award she had ever won for acting in her 45-year career. The actress says she was at a low point in her career when what she called an absolutely bonkers script came across her desk. She agreed to do the role, and the rest is, as they say, history. The holidays continue for Zendaya and Tom Holland. The couple, who have been dating since 2021, are reported to be engaged, according to TMZ. The couple shared the screen in three Spider-Man films, but typically do not walk the red carpet together. Holland says he was not with his fiancée at the Golden Globes, so she could enjoy her moment. Zendaya was nominated in the Best Actress category for the film Challengers. I think they will each make a great first spouse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. The show, we welcome from Matt and Aaron Air, Jane's on-air partner, Greg Bach, who will be here at 6:35 to make the popcorn pick of the week. And we're joined by Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens at 7:05, who will give us a breakdown of playoff football this weekend, including obviously the Packers. And then from the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, James Roberts at 7:35. Whew, that's a show, Conrad. Covering every base.
That's a lot of fun right there.
Movies, sports, poetry. I just find me another radio show that does that. That's all I'm saying. So great to talk to Tim Kavanaugh. And now we welcome another friend of mine who is the host of the Travel Tales podcast. And he's hosted many TV shows about real estate and movies and all kinds of stuff. And he joins us now on the stream all the way from Florida, USA. Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
Florida, USA. Thank you, Pete. It's always fun to be here. And I got to say, I love waiting in the wings because I get to hear WGBW news. So I don't get enough gray wolf killing news.
Gray wolf killing. I missed a story, I think. I checked out during that.
They're decimating these farmers' flocks.
Oh, really?
I guess they call them, I guess. Yeah.
You don't have that problem.
Should we limit it, Pete? Do you not listen to your own news? Because I'm telling you.
Look, can a guy take a bathroom break, Mike? Is that against the law? It's good to have you, buddy. You are, okay, so you're in Florida. I know you're visiting family, but you live in L.A. You know,
I live in L.A.
First things first, and I'm glad you moved a little bit further south, or you could be right in the line of actual fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
What have you heard from friends of ours or people that you know out there about what today was like, if anything?
Pete, it's really bad. I've lived there about 27 years, and people who have lived there even longer said they've never seen anything like it. We've always seen fires. You know, there's a fire season.
Sure.
But it's kind of disturbing. You know, that fire season is usually it went from like the occasional, you know, the fire time of year, which is the end of summer because it doesn't rain all summer.
Right.
And it's a tinderbox by September when it's really hot. And that's our fire season usually, but usually get rain in the winter to kind of like bring it back.
Right.
And we just haven't gotten rain. And so for this to happen in January for one. That's bad enough, but it was record winds and it just fueled this thing really bad. So I know a lot of people that are that have evacuated. A couple people whose parents have lost their homes. I don't know any personally who've lost their homes, but I'm sure I will soon. Yeah. It's really bad. And the place just, you know, stinks of smoke from what I hear, and ashes everywhere on, you know, you walk out and it's just like a inch of ash on your car, and it's really bad.
I've been watching Facebook all day, and some, you know, we have friends in that area. I've heard Pacific Palisades is gone, basically.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I remember taking the kids to Will Rogers Park. It was this beautiful park, and you know, just going through there all the time when we would go to the beach. It's so terrible. And then out in Pasadena, they're having these issues too. And you're right. It's like, for a while, I remember eating at a Sharky's in Burbank, and there was just a fire across the highway.
Yeah,
and we're exactly. just eating, like, because it was part of the, and I was always like, should that be happening? But you're always, there was always that danger that if there was a big wind, that it could happen. And this is like absolute worst case scenario. It's so awful.
And just iconic places in Malibu, you know, that we went to. Moon Shadows, that famous bar.
I love
is gone.
That place. Is Loved that right? It. Oh my God.
Moon Shadows is gone. I don't know about the Getty Villa. I've heard maybe that might be gone, but all the businesses up and down PCH. I don't know what the state of the pier is, but the Real Inn, which was a very famous seafood place, is gone. I've heard it might be at Duke's. And I was in Santa Monica, you know, for 5 years, and it's inching towards there. And the people in North Santa Monica have already been asked to evacuate. So, I head back on Friday. I'm really, really worried about what I'm going to see going back. So
it's terrible. Moon Shadows was the place. Well, it's famous for Mel Gibson's rant.
That's where he got drunk and left.
We used to go there to get clam chowder after going to Zuma Beach, and that you could, every time we went there, the kids loved it because you would see dolphins. I mean, I'm sure they'll rebuild. I hope anyway, but it's so awful. But anyway, I'm glad you're out of harm's way. You're in Florida, where all you have to worry about are hurricanes and another kind of natural disaster.
What happens up there? What are the natural disasters
cold,
up there in Wisconsin, Pete?
Cold, Mike. I honestly, and I don't know, Conrad, maybe you can vouch for me. People have said, you're so better off here than with all those earthquakes. Well, earthquakes are scary. You know, I went through a few of them, but you're more likely to slip and crack your head open. I mean, in the winter here, it can be treacherous. And earthquakes I'd rather take than the cold. I don't, this fire though, I'm not messing around.
When I look back on all those years on the road and doing one nighters all through Michigan and Wisconsin in the dead of winter, and you and I did them both, and we would be driving home, and this is pre cell phone and things like that. And I remember going on 2-lane highways in northern Wisconsin. In the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside, and in my little Tercel, and I was in the, and there's no street lights, totally dark, and you're just going, man, one skid off the road, there's no houses nearby, I'm dead, I freeze to death out here. Or, you know, I would always think about worrying about hitting a deer.
Right.
You know, one deer jumps out in front of me, and it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Right, exactly. Just my frozen corpse holding my $50 I made emceeing up there somewhere.
We have a dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass and that Tercel over there. So
holding his date book, holding my address book.
Somebody frozen might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mike, it's interesting. You host this great podcast. Let's do this first. Okay, we've been talking about high school dances a little bit, and I wanted to go into this with you. Did you have dances? We're about the same age, our early 30s.
Sure.
Did you have dances, and how often, and what song, what was your favorite song to slow dance to?
Well, the big ones, we had definitely prom and homecoming. Those are the two big ones. After that, we didn't really have, maybe there was some school dances other than that, but I don't recall them. You know, it was just all about, and I wasn't known for busting a move, Pete. I don't know if you know that about me. Cutting a rug was not my deal.
The legend lives on. It's your inability to dance in the Edmund Fitzgerald that gets around.
If you can, I think we're the same age, but if you can, so I'll give away my age here. So my senior year, you can guess what my prom theme was.
It Heaven
was a song, big hit song. It was not.
Oh,
maybe you can. It was by the band. It was a number one hit by the band. And this is apropos growing up in the suburbs of Chicago by the band Chicago.
Oh,
and it was a slow dance.
Tell
number one hit.
Say, oh, hold me now. Hard for me to say I'm sorry. No,
no, no. That's older.
Let's see. Chicago.
In mid 80s here.
Yeah, I'm trying. Peter Cetera. I can't think of his songs right now. All right. Just spill it.
I'll put you out of here. It's You're the Inspiration.
Oh, God.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was our prom theme. You're the Inspiration.
And it made 17-year-old couples feel very special, like they found their soulmate.
Yeah. Did you go through that phase where, like, somebody, you'd be at a party and it's like, oh, they're going to slow it down. And it's like, yeah, okay, here's my chance. I'm going to get to cozy up to a gal.
Yeah.
And then some idiot puts on Stairway to Heaven. So you're good for the first 3-4 minutes, and then the jam kicks in and we're like, well, what do we do now? You can't dance to it, but you can't slow dance to it, you know? So now we're just standing here going, nodding your head like, yeah, rock on.
Mike, I was talking about that earlier. Like, I, more than anything,
did I just, oh, I'm sorry.
No. The awkwardness of those moments in high school are just, they're unparalleled. And like you just said, when you're slow dancing to Stairway to Heaven and then the beat picks up and it's maybe a girl you don't know that well, and all of a sudden it's like, well, should I keep going like this, or do I take a couple steps back and start?
It's, do I air guitar like I do at home at this moment? Jimmy Page solo?
Awful.
I got to do it.
Yeah, I picked True by Spandau Ballet.
That's a nice one.
That's kind of a nice background song or soundtrack to my high school dance. And we, like I was telling Conrad, we had a high school dance every week. In Marinette, every weekend,
every week,
three high schools would filter into our little Catholic gym, and they were really fun. It was kind of, that was the place. You know, small town, you need something to do on the weekends. You know,
I know, but you went to a Catholic school where there are those rules where, like, no touching, no too close dancing, is show some distance.
Yeah, the chaperones oftentimes look the other way, and we did have...
grab assery.
We did have police there once or twice. There's usually a fight, you know, because sometimes people had too much to drink.
A fight.
Yeah, not between people slow dancing, but, you know, I would say 4 dances a month, 2 of those, a couple guys are going to throw down and be idiots, and, you know. One guy, this is the best, Mike, one time a guy, you know, he got punched so hard. Everybody in the gym heard his head hit the wood floor, and it was like,
oh, no.
It was kind of a collective ooh. And then he's on the floor. They had to call paramedics. He gets up after like a half hour. The guy that did this to him was like twice his size, and the dance had ended and they're still working on this kid. We're all outside. He exits and he goes, where is that bleepity bleep? Like, he comes out.
He wants a piece.
His eye was out of the socket. And someone said, oh, he said, if you want to get your ass kicked again, give him a call. He had to go home. So
set up a meeting to put you out on the floor another time.
Exactly. But
That's
it was
so funny.
Great memories. My
Where
guest is
he?
No idea. I didn't
had
know
enough?
Him.
That's what he comes out.
Yeah,
he
right.
comes out and goes, had enough?
My guest is Mike Siegel. You can check out his podcast, Travel Tales. Mike has been all over the world. He loves travel, and he loves talking to people who travel. You had a guest on recently, Mike, who was in Hawaii on the heels of the Hawaii fires last year.
Yeah.
What's Hawaii like now?
Well, this is the Maui and Lahaina. Everybody remembers those fires that just went through there super quick. You know, high winds, all it takes is one spark and boom. And it took out, I had been working on a cruise ship, about a couple months before that landed in Lahaina in Maui. And just normal. I had been there a number of times. It's a great little town right on the sea there. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I looked down a couple months later and it was gone. I mean, it's just gone. So, but she wanted to make it known that she went, it's been a year and a half ago. I think it was August of 2023. And the rest of the island, Lahaina is still being rebuilt, but the rest of the island is open. So the problem is when the fire happened, everybody canceled their plans. And the rest of the island's like, hey, we're still open and we need the business more than ever now. You know, they need the money. And so if you want to, and there's deals out there to be had, because there's still vacancies and stuff. So if you really want to go to Hawaii and Maui in particular, go there and because they could use you, you know,
right?
And you won't see Lahaina, but everything else, man. On the there's still a whole rest of the island that could use some love. So that's what we talked about.
Okay, that's great. So Google, I would say Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Mike, you have you do a lot of cruise ships.
I do.
And you just mentioned that. What? I know you have kind of a love-hate. As most of my comic friends do. They work cruise ships for the money. It's good. It's decent money. And I would imagine at first you're excited to see some places and be on a boat. But it seems like the charm wears off. Let's do this after the break. What are some of the good things about working cruises and some of the bad things? Let's do that after the break. And in the meantime, I have another question for you. I want you to noodle this over the break too. Mike Desitel on the stream says, I'm curious, what was Mike's inspiration for the look he gave the paper towel dispenser on his way out of the on his way out of the bathroom with Big Jake Norquist in The Godfather of Green Bay? If I remember correctly, that was in the script, but you like really got into it. It was great.
No, it wasn't in the script at all, but we'll
really,
it was not. But we'll talk about it.
Well done, buddy. All right. Mike Siegel is here. I like to call you TV's Mike Siegel because you've hosted enough shows, you know.
Because I haven't been on TV regularly for 10 years.
What do you call this, Mike? You're on the stream. This is like this is like poor man's TV. All right, Mike Siegel's here. We'll have a few more minutes with Mike after a very short break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Close now.
So bright, did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother, cause now we're partners in crime. Don't be a baby, remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for
song that I have not heard in ages, but Larry from the 608 says, if you're still collecting slow dance songs, did anyone mention Ferry Cross the Mercy?
Oh yeah, that's
that one?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Great song. I just
Cross. I can't sing it, or else we'd get tagged what copyright law.
You end up in copyright jail.
I got to pay ASCAP or BMI or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was a great tune. Thank you, Larry, for that. It's fun to hear these songs coming out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Some I haven't thought about in quite a while. Mike Siegel is here for a few more minutes on the stream from Florida, hanging out with his family this week, and it's a good thing he is out of Southern California at the moment.
Wow, what timing, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Well done. Mike, I asked you before the break, the cruise ships, what are you, what's the best and the worst of working cruise ships as a stand-up comic?
Well, the best things are, the positives are, well, the money is pretty decent, and you can make more for a week on the ship than you would make it a week in a club usually.
Yeah.
So that's good. Two is they cover all the travel and everything else. And so not having travel expenses is huge. And also when you're on the ship, you're not really spending a lot of money unless you're going crazy with like gambling or something or like drinking a lot or whatever. Even then we get discounts and things. So as long as you're, you know, you're there, all your food is paid for and everything else. So you're not spending a lot either.
Yeah.
And the venues can be really nice, like beautiful theaters. If you're in the main theater, you could be like, you know, these things are set up for, you could be a 800 to 1,000 seat theater that's made for these big musical numbers and huge shows. So the sound is top notch usually and that kind of stuff. And there's a crew that are all really well trained usually. So that's good. The downsides are a lot of travel. You're gone a lot. And once you're out on that ship, it's like being on an airplane. You're helpless. You cannot just get out and leave and go home. You know what I mean? You're at mercy of the weather. You're at mercy of whatever conditions. If the captain says, hey, we can't go forward and you got a plane to catch the next day, sorry. You know?
Oh, man.
Or if it's you know, really bad weather and you're delayed and get us to spend another night in a port, or it's really rocky. So that you're kind of helpless in that way. As someone who's kind of a control freak who likes to control their vacations, yeah, I'd like to be able to do my show and go home afterwards, but I can't.
Right.
You know, I could be on for a week. The contract runs for a week, and I might only work one night or two nights. And now, and people think, oh, that's great. You got to, you know, get a free cruise. It's like, I don't need a free cruise at this point. I would rather go home.
Right.
You know, so we're not, I always tell people we're not paid for the shows we do. We're paid for the amount of time we're gone away from home. And also, I mean, although it's getting better, the Wi-Fi situation is rough out there.
Yeah.
It really varies from ship to ship and from cruise line to cruise line. So if you have any kind of online presence, if you want to like upload video or down, there's like, it's not strong enough to stream Netflix or something like that. It's tough. So if you, people try to be like, oh, I'm going to be an online, I'm going to be a blogger and just upload stuff every day. Well, good luck.
Right.
Like I try to upload podcasts and things and download video or upload video and it could be really, really tough. So if you're used to having it with you, you know, Wi-Fi access all the time, that's a tough thing too. And also if you have a bad show, you're stuck on a ship with these people.
That's horrible. Yeah, I remember we would swap messages and you'd be like, oh, I'm on a ship, so we'll be docking in 3 hours or maybe I could talk tomorrow. I'm like, oh, God, that must be awful, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get a phone signal, you can't use there is a cellular at sea option, which is like amazingly expensive. And a lot of people start using their phone as if they're, you know, talking at home, and they come back home to this gigantic bill. So you usually keep your phone in airplane mode while you're on the ship just to be safe. Pete, I got a great story as a comic for you.
All right. We got about 2 minutes. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I said about like people, you know, if you have a good show or bad show, you know, I kind of stay to myself on the ship. I don't like mingling with the people that much, but I did a show. It was the last night of the cruise. And the next day I want to get a quick breakfast before I head out to the airport. And that's what everybody else is doing. They're getting their last breakfast. So the place is packed. And I had to force to share a table with this old couple. And this is an old British lady. And she goes, were you the comedian from last night? I go, yes, I was. And she goes, well, my husband and I, we enjoyed your show. but the people next to us didn't like it at all. I'm thinking to myself, could have stopped halfway in that sentence. Didn't need to know the net. Didn't need to know the last part. Thank you very much.
Are you going
to
finish your eggs? That's so just great.
Had to make a point of saying, yeah. Well, we liked it, but these other people, they did not care for you at all.
Oh, that's like, so great.
Why would you bother?
Yeah. You don't have to share everything that comes into your head, lady.
Had to tell me.
I thought you were going to go the route like they ended up being swingers and the trip ended up okay. But hey, buddy, this was fun. I'd love to say I'll have you on again, but I just got a notification on my phone that LinkedIn says I'm getting noticed. So, I got stuff going on.
I didn't answer Des Hotel's question.
Oh, yeah. All right. We got about 30 seconds. Sorry, Mike.
Okay.
But go for it.
The scene in the bathroom. Yeah. It wasn't in the script. I don't know. I just wanted to do something funny because I didn't have much to say during this scene. You know, I was kind of reacting to Tony Goldwyn. I was like, maybe I can try to steal a laugh somewhere out the ad lib something on the way out the door. So I bumped my shoulder into the into the paper towel dispenser and tried to pick a fight with it.
You stared down an inanimate object. It was beautiful.
It gave me a look, Pete. It gave me some attitude.
Next time you're here, we will do the whole. We'll break down that character because you crushed that role. So it was so much fun. Mike, safe travels, buddy. Say hi to your family, and we'll talk soon. Great catching up.
Thanks, Pete.
All right.
Good to see you as always.
Likewise. All right, that's Mike Siegel. Check out the Travel Tales podcast. It's outstanding, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, this is Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Multiple wildfires are burning out of control in Los Angeles County, California. The Eaton Fire near the Altadena-Pasadena areas has killed at least 5 people. Pasadena's mayor says over 100,000 people are under a mandatory evacuation order. Eaton Fire evacuee Kevin Williams.
Flames are up about 30, 40 feet high, and, you know, you hear pop, pop, pop. Sound like a war zone. In fact, there were 2 big explosions that actually shook the ground.
The Palisades fire in the L.A. area has destroyed more than 1,000 structures, many homes just charred, a shell now. The Kern County Fire Department is fighting the flames on the Pacific Coast Highway. Fire Chief Marcus Rodriguez.
We've just been doing structure protection and keeping it from spreading further to the west.
CBS's Elise Preston in Malibu.
Total devastation. We are on the Pacific Coast Highway. On both sides, homes just burned to the ground, charred, and there are still embers. Those are